So you've been called the Democratic version of the Koch brothers, the billionaire industrialists who frequently back Republican candidates, conservative candidates, and are pretty staunchly against acting on climate change or reducing carbon emissions. Tell me whether that's an apt comparison.
I don't think so at all. I mean, the fact of the matter is we're doing something where, A, it's what they're doing, whether it's explicitly for their bottom line interests or just happens to line up with their bottom line interests, the fact of the matter is what we're doing is something about what our deepest values in terms of what we think is good for the country. There's no way to show that it in any way, shape, or form helps anybody's bottom line who works at NextGen Climate because it doesn't. That's the first point. Second point is we really believe in transparency. We think there's a huge problem with money in politics. And one way to mitigate that problem is transparency, to say what you're doing, to be straightforward, to be on this radio show talking to you and explaining what you're doing, but also to make sure that you report everything to the government so that people can see what you're doing. And that's something that they just don't do. They work, you know, as secretly and quietly as possible, trying to hide what they're doing, trying to prevent people from knowing who they are and who they're supporting and why. So I think that, and the last thing I'd say is this, you know, I actually quit my job 4 years ago to do this full time because I thought there was such a big problem that needed to be addressed. You know, whatever else you can say, those guys still are full-time business people who have a political agenda of their own that they pursue.
So I did want to ask you about what you did before you quit your job. Mm-hmm. You've been criticized, you know this, for having investments in fossil fuel industries, including coal. Now you're basically trying to work against those industries if they are adding to the climate change problem. You know, people have called you hypocritical for doing that. Mm-hmm. How do you see it?
I think that if you get new information, you change your behavior. So from my standpoint, we invested in everything, every business. You know, and energy is a huge part of American business or worldwide business. And we invested in it somewhat proportionally or maybe less around the world. And then I started to get really concerned about this. And I changed my behavior. I divested from anything having to do with fossil fuels. And I started to work because I realized, wow, this is a big problem that's not getting solved. I mean, I think everybody, including me, knew there was a problem, but I expected the American political system to solve it. And I kept, and as it kept not getting solved, I started to get more involved and to try and examine both what is the problem and why isn't it getting solved. And as I did, I stopped investing in those. I sold any investments I had related to fossil fuels. So from my standpoint, if you get new information and act on it and then proceed on that way, is that somehow a conflict of interest or talking out of both sides of your mouth? I think that's ridiculous. That what I'm asking everyone in the United States to do is exactly what I did, which is to look at the evidence to see, wow, there's some new information here that we need to change our behavior based on and to change our behavior based on it.
Was there one thing that kind of pushed you in this direction?
Well, what really happened was sometime about 10 years ago, I was struggling with what was going to be the biggest threat to the country. I don't know why I was thinking about it, but I somehow got obsessed with that question. And so I really looked at it and I thought, wow, this is obviously it. And I tried, and I started to think about what can I possibly do that would help? And I started by just trying to fund some technological research, like maybe this is a tech problem. And so if I give some money to some scientists to come up with some technological fixes, that's how it will work. And so I got involved starting that way. And then, you know, gradually got more involved in terms of thinking, wow, why isn't this being solved in the normal American way? If we have a problem, we may scream and yell. Americans are famously loud and contentious, but we face up to our problems and we deal with them together. We figure out solutions. Maybe they're compromises, but we deal with solutions and we move on. We've done that for several hundred years. The question was, why wasn't that happening here?
And in your mind, why wasn't it happening?
It was to no one's advantage to solve this. The biggest industry in the country that made hundreds of billions of dollars of profits every year was dependent on the status quo staying the status quo. And they were going to do whatever they could to make sure that that was what happened. That's what the Koch brothers are. We want the status quo. We want to keep running the country exactly the same way because it is super profitable for us. And there was nobody on the other side saying, oh, there are new industries we can create. We have the technology to solve this. We need to solve it. And so I felt like, wow, someone has to do that. And, you know, maybe I can be part of that solution.
The fossil fuel industry, at least in this state, can sort of paint you as a kind of a type. You come in from the outside, you're from the coast, you have a lot of money, and you're pushing an agenda that could cost some people who work in the state, you know, their jobs if they work in a coal mine or some kind of other fossil fuel industry. Does that bother you that you can be sort of typed that way, or how do you respond to that?
Well, let me respond to the idea of what you just put forward, which is people like to frame clean energy as we're opposed to fossil fuels. The fact of the matter is we have a huge infrastructure project in the United States to rebuild our energy infrastructure in a way that will create millions of net jobs. So the fact of the matter is that what we will do will make America richer. It will make its citizens better off and take home more money. It will produce net a couple million new jobs. So it will actually, and it will save us money. So the fact of the matter is on a gross basis, it's a plus all the way around. The problem is, and it actually is a real problem, is there's a transition there. You know, part of the way the capitalism works is new ideas come in and they destroy old ideas. And when they destroy old ideas, they destroy the industries that supported those old ideas. And that means that jobs are destroyed. And that is bad. And in the United States of America, it's really important that as that happens, we recognize it happens and protect the people who went to work in those industries just to have a decent wage and support their families, who've done nothing wrong except go to work and try and do their job. So it is really important that as this happens, as the actual net gains happen around the country, that we take care of the people whose lives who are caught up in this change. The fact of the matter is, on a gross basis, this is much better for the United States, and we also have to do it. If you look at the projections, if we do nothing for this century, which is a long time, it will destroy 36% of our GDP. That's the analysis. This is not a one-off. That's where we're going. Come to California and see what it costs in California not to have any snowpack. This is not something that's going to happen. It's happening.
Your group is reportedly spending $25 million across several states, PA included, to get out the youth vote. Why are you so focused on young people and millennials? I hate to use that word, but...
Me too. So I have four kids between the ages of 22 and 28 who hate the word millennials even more than you do. You know, young people, including in Pennsylvania, are passionate about energy and climate. I think probably somewhere in the 80% range, 81%, want to vote for somebody who's going to push for a faster transition to clean energy. I think all of them grew up knowing this was going to be a huge issue in their lives, not somebody else's lives, not some child of theirs or grandchild of theirs, in their lives. So that I think they all know the science, they all know what's coming, and so they all think this is something where I want to vote for someone who's going to do the right thing.
So I wanted to ask you about the current Pennsylvania Senate race, which you're backing Katie McGinty, you're supporting her candidacy in this election cycle, correct?
Yes, correct.
She's been attacked by some in her party because she, in the Pennsylvania Democratic primary, she was the candidate who did not favor a ban on fracking. She said she was for strong regulations. Her primary opponents attacked her because she was in charge of the Department of Environmental Protection under former Governor Ed Rendell, and they said, you brought fracking to Pennsylvania. So my question to you is about Katie McGinty. And maybe candidates in general, is she where you want her to be on these issues?
Well, in elections, as you well know, it's always a choice. You know, you very rarely get the supreme being running for office. You get a human being running against another human being, which is what we have here. And Katie's much better than her opponent. She really is. She'll be a very fine U.S. senator. And, you know, does she say every single thing that we would like? Probably not. But the fact of the matter is she'd be a very good senator. She's very knowledgeable on energy and climate. She's very progressive on energy and climate. And in comparison, she's hands down better.
What are your thoughts about money in politics and the ability for people, high net worth individuals, to influence elections?
Well, we are, I think Citizens United was one of the great mistakes of the Supreme Court over the last 220 years. We think that money in politics is really scary and that there should be a reform. And so we're totally in favor of it. We also know that where it is now, the people on the other side of this issue, of the energy issue, will always outspend us by multiples. We're in a situation where basically the Supreme Court freed up corporations to spend basically unlimited money in support of their bottom line, and we will always be massively outspent. What we've tried to do this year is to do almost exclusively field work, where it's people talking to each other in longer conversations, not using TV ads, but much more just dealing with trying to do organizing on the ground. So whether it's knocking on doors or tabling at universities or calling people up on the phone and talking to them, we're trying to do traditional field work, people talking to people, because that's how we think Americans traditionally have come together on the biggest issues of the day.
Is that a different strategy from last election cycle?
It is a little different because I think in 14 we did spend more money on TV, and I think that we thought about what is really important to us and, you know, what do we feel is the thing we feel the best about, that we're the proudest of, and that we enjoy the most. And that really is what I'm describing, which is much more what we think of as we call it 18th century democracy powered by 21st century information technology. Is try and do it really smart. It's a bigger, much bigger country than it was 200 years ago. So we have to be smarter and use the IT that we have. But the fact of the matter, it still comes down to a citizen talking to another citizen who trusts each other and saying, you know, how big a problem is this going to be? What should we do about these darn Brits?
All right. Well, Tom Steyer, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure. It's nice to be here.